house of the Lord today.
Amen.
It's good to be with each one of you. I know every time we come into the house of God, we should look at one another and know that when you see someone coming in, you're seeing someone who's been battling the enemy all week, has went through all kinds of trials and troubles, and walking in the door victorious. You should always remember that. I mean, you never know what someone's going through whenever you see them. And so, but we know as Christians we have a bullseye on our back, and so the enemy just many dangers, toils, and snares, but thank God he delivers us out of every one of them. And so didn't say we would not be a tested and tried people, but he did say we'd be victorious. So we appreciate all that God does for us, and which is more than we can see with our naked eye, that's for sure. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We can read verse 15. The title is today just a simple title of perfect love. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And then we want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. You might have that up here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Sure looks like it, doesn't it? The end of all things are at hand, or is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch. As I was ministering the other day, you know, watch and pray is always together.
Right.
And being sober. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, how thankful we are to be in your presence. We know, Lord, that your word is true. You've promised to be where two or three are gathered together in your name. And that's what we've done today, Lord. We know that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of you, and we love you, Lord. We're just happy to know that you guide our footsteps. And Lord, that in areas of our life when you need to correct us, you do that. In areas of our life where we need encouragement, you do that, Lord. So many times you do it through people or events. We don't really try to dictate how it is, Lord. We're just thankful that you do those things, that you move us in our life and move us in the direction you want us to go. We commit this service in your hands this morning, Lord, and ask that you speak to our hearts, each one, ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Perfect love. So, last week we were talking about how that we should love from the heart. And we should believe from the heart. That we should forgive one another from the heart. Because if it's not from your heart, well, then it's just not, probably not that good. It needs to come from the heart. It needs to be something that is really moving you. And something that has a passionate function to it that would cause us to do it sincerely and from our heart. And so we talked about that. And we know that there is no one who can love like the Lord Jesus loves. No one can forgive like the Lord Jesus forgives. No one can be a helper in a time of need and a comfort like our Lord Jesus can in a time of need. And so he is our role model. And as far as I'm concerned, we cannot brag on him enough. I have come to the conclusion, I hope you don't get tired of hearing me say it in the different ways that I say it, but I have come to the conclusion that there If it's not Christ doing it, then it's no good. It all must come from Him. And so as we walk as Christians, we find out that every effort that we make as human beings, as in ourselves, they're just so feeble. And so the sooner we can get the Lord into the mix of the things, let Him be the one that's guiding, the better off we are. And so He's the only one. He's the only way. He's the only creator. He's the only one that can heal, right? So if there was another, let's just say for a moment that there was someone else that had the qualities that the Lord did, that maybe there would be two messiahs or two saviors, then what would we have if we had that? Well, what we would have is division, because I'd say, well, Jesus number one is my savior, and somebody said, well, no, I think Jesus number two is mine. Right? You understand? God only needed one. He only needed one Savior, one healer, one keeper, one guide, one way provided by God for any way, and that way is His Word, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He only needed one. And so God is not the author of confusion, and so if He gives you multiple ways to do the same thing, well, then it would bring confusion, and that would take away from His immutable character. That would take away from the character of God, that He is infinite and He's perfect. So He doesn't need but just one way, one Savior, one healer. That's why the Scripture said there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Not two, three, four, five, but one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Amen. And so we believe that. And so here at the end time, we talk about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him being able to love like no one can love and believe like no one can believe His own word and to forgive and all the things that He does, and He does perfect. And here at the end time, we realize that the bride of Christ, in this phase of uniting with the Word, she can't reunite with the Word when it's not been revealed, but since it has and is being revealed, then that's something she can unite with. And as that happens, His character begins to come down and work, and it becomes His character working through her. In all ways, even His humility. The Scripture's telling us how that the Lord was humble and wasn't trying to make a big name for Himself, even though He was the greatest one. And He was going to be the greatest name, but He wasn't trying to make the greatest name for Himself. He was just simply humbly walking in the will of God for His life as our example. And so we know that. And so as she takes on His character this end time, she'll have His character of humility and meekness and all the things. And I think of the descriptions that we heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look into His eyes or look at Him and you'd see love and such compassion and mercy that it just make you want to cry, but yet at the same time you can see enough power there could speak and turn the world upside down, because all of those characters and natures are all right there in Him, and that's where that creative spoken, the power to bring judgment comes from a character of one who is loving and is kind and does have those qualities. And so we know that the bride here at the end time, those things begin to move through her. She begins to take on His character, His humility, as He begins to ramp up what He does in our lives.
Right.
That's there. And so even His humility is found in us. And so when we look at perfect love, you can ask yourself, what is perfect love? And there's so many things we can say like about that, but perfect love is a love that never fails to meet the need that is set before it. We know in the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about charity. You know, it never fails. It doesn't seek its own. It's not haughty. It never fails. And so we understand that perfect love is a love that never fails to meet the challenge that's set before it. So that's the concept. And so if that's the case, then we realize that if it's perfect love, it can only be divine love. It can only be God. It can only be His love, because we're not capable. We've got to understand that. We as humanity, we are not capable to act out this plan or any portion of it. It has to be Him that comes down and lives through us. That's the way it works. And so perfect love would have to be God's love, divine love, that would come down and live through us and work through us, because He's the only one that can do this. So we have to ask ourselves, why did God give us an emotion called love? And I'll tell you this, to me it's more than an emotion. But why did he give us love? We have an emotion of anger. We have an emotion of fear. We have this emotion of love. Why would he give us those things? Love is an emotion that will, to me, will cause you to act out in ways. Maybe if you didn't have emotion, you just kind of be indifferent. Somebody's going through something, you wouldn't, you know. But when you love someone, it compels you to do something about their need or get involved when they're having trials in their life or whatever. When you love someone, love wants to express itself. So love wants to project itself. This projector right here, it makes no difference what kind of image is inside there. It does us no good until it's projected. But once it's projected, then it can get effect. And love, that's the way it is. Divine love or human love has to be projected. It does no good for you to love someone silently, secretly in your heart. It's got to, you've got to bring it out and do something with it. But that's the way it is. That emotion moves upon us and it compels us to come out and do something. It compels us to act on behalf of the one we love, to show them that love, to do something on their behalf, or if they're going through troubles, to make a way where maybe they don't have a way, you can make a way for them. That's love. And so if we didn't have that emotion, what would we be? We sit around, think of all the times in your life where you felt that love move upon you and you wanted to do, what if that didn't happen? Would you sit there and just watch someone go through something and not do anything to help them? Right? You understand? You love your children. Right? Why do you give your lives for them? Because you love them. See, so we're thankful that God gives us the emotion or the whatever of love. And like I said, it's more than an emotion. So we realize that the scripture tells us faith which worketh by love. So when you have love can reach out into a realm that you wouldn't be able to reach if you didn't have it. It can reach out and cause you to live out and act out things you wouldn't do without it. So it reach out in the realm where faith becomes possible and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Because if you love someone, you'll forgive them if they do something wrong. If you love them, right?
Right.
What if you didn't have that? If somebody did you wrong, then it'd be over with. But you have love that God has given us, and thank God for it. It gives us the ability to reach out to those things. And we know that filial love, which is human love, just the love we'd have toward one another, we know that even that can go a long ways in how it helps us to help and to forgive and all the things that we have to. You know, the scripture says it's impossible but that offenses would come. People are going to offend you. You offend yourself sometimes,
right?
Sometimes you do things and you realize you've messed yourself up and you have no one to blame but yourself. So everything in this life here is disappointing as far as when you try to measure it up to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can make things truly happen. And so we realize that just human love can kind of go a long ways in helping us do this, but it's not perfect. You can love your fellow man just in human love, and circumstances can get so tough and so rough that you eventually will not be able to handle whatever is being asked of you in that relationship. But God's love is not like that. Perfect love can never come before a situation that it can't handle. Perfect love never faileth, says the scriptures. Charity, never faileth. So, as the prophet came along and said, divine love, when it's projected. So that's a very important thing to remember that. So, filial love is not perfect, but God's perfect divine love is if it is projected. So, from all this, we see that in daily life and all the things that come along, we are met with circumstances that put such a constraint on some things that hurt so much that you just, you know, you just wonder if you'll ever get over what has happened in your family or your life or something like that. Things are just happening. You reach those points and you realize that in times like that you don't have enough to bear it. You don't, even all the love you have for your family or for whoever it is, it's whatever's happened, with all that love that you have, you realize you need something greater. And so we come to the understanding that we need divine love. We need God's love to come down and take us the distance that we can't go ourselves. And so we have to see something that can come down that goes way beyond it. And so, as I said, everything must come from Him. That's the simplicity of being a Christian. That is, all as simply as just this. Let Him come and live through you. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Let Him cast aside our confidence in our own abilities. Right. Just make it clear to yourself. If I try to do anything, deal with anything myself, it's going to be a failure. I'm just going to believe His promise, and I'm going to seek Him until He comes down. And now I'm going to just do what He leads me to do. I'll deal with these circumstances with His anointing upon me. It's that simple. That's what it is, just being a Christian life. And so, we just want to look for His leadership in all things.
Amen.
Absolutely. So, now you realize Jesus can forgive anything He wants to. Because we know our sins were against Him, were against God. We know that. We sinned against Him. But since we've sinned against Him, and He's the one that suffered on Calvary, He's the one that died in our place, since He's the one that provided atonement, then He can forgive whatever He wants, right? Because it's His atonement. Because He's the one that died. He's the one that looked and said, I love, you know, the scripture said, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Because He loved us so, then He got involved and He did something about our dire situation, and He died for us and paid a price for us. So it's His love, His mercy, His grace, and He can look out all across that and say, yes, my suffering paid the atonement for adultery and for murder and for you understand what I'm saying? He can forgive whatever He wanted to include because it was His sacrifice that He did. So he can cover it. And it's up to Him. It's His choice. He can say, I'll forgive all sins except blasphemy and the Holy Ghost. He can, because it's His atonement. He's the one that got involved. Right. He's the one that looked out and said, I love this group, and I'm going to make a difference in their life. And once He does that, then he can describe the parameters of it.
Right.
And that's what He did. Right? Mm-hmm. And so because He died and paid the price, then He can forgive those who He wants to forgive.
Right.
And so, because it's His love. And the scripture said, love covers a multitude of sins. He did that to cover the multitude of our sins.
Right.
And so, you realize, you know, as I said here at the end time, we're taking on His character and His nature. And we have to realize that you can forgive sins. You can forgive someone and they've done something against you. You have the ability. And if you love them, if you love whoever it is, if they've done something that's offended you or whatever, if you love them, you will forgive them because that's the nature of God working through you. But since you're the one that suffered and since you're the one that's forgiving them, you can forgive them for whatever it is you want. Right? We know the scriptures say we must forgive because that's required. But I'm saying, in all that, as Christians, we forgive and we can forgive anything that somebody does. We choose to do that. And we know we choose to because that's the Christian nature.
Right.
To not hold someone against someone. But it's the same way. If you forgive someone, it doesn't matter what they are. If you forgive them, they're forgiven.
Right?
Right? From the heart, they are forgiven. And so if that's the case, no one, if someone's done something against me and I forgive them for that, no one else can hold that against me or them. Because it's my forgiveness. I'm the one that was done wrong. I'm the one that says that I forgive them. Right? I'm the one that says what I've suffered, I'll let that cover for that. And I'm gonna put that in the seal of my forgiveness. You understand what I'm saying? Then that's up to me. And so no one else can say, well, yeah, we're holding against you what you did to Brother Tony or what you did to whoever it was. No, they can't, because it's between me and the person, or between you and the person that you forgive.
Right.
Forgiveness is like that. And so you can forgive whoever you want, right? As Christian nature, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We don't tally up stuff. If we're doing that, then we haven't reached this place, because God's love is not like that. Listen, I know that we remember things. God puts things in the sea as forgetfulness. You go before Him and say, what are you talking about? I know we remember when somebody's done something for us. But listen, we would do ourselves well if we would do our best to be like Him as much as we can. And we could say, you know what? I do still remember what somebody did me. But I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it in this little category over here. And that category says, I refuse to let that be an issue. I refuse to bring it up. I refuse to let that be an influence on how I treat this person going forward. It's as though it doesn't exist, even though I still remember. I'm going to do the best I can to be like my God and put it in my forgetfulness.
Right.
The best I can do. Because if we hold anybody accountable for iniquities, none of us are going to be saved.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And we have to. We have to forgive. And so, if someone's done you wrong, you have that ability. And no one can condemn you or that person that you're forgiving. Because it's your love that is saying, I'll take that suffering and I won't hold it against him. It's your, let me say it this way, not to rob from the Lord, but just to show you, it's your atonement of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's your mercy. So you can do what you want. You do not have to choose the whole thing to get people. You can choose, because listen, it would do us real good if we would always remember that if someone's going through something, if anything about their life is ungodly, it's not them, it's the devil. You know that.
Right.
You know that you get a person in the totally completely in the presence of God, they're not going to want to do things contrary.
Right.
But we're in this fight, and things come at us and get us sidetracked. And when that happens, whether it's a day, a week, a month, year, or 20 years, it's not the person, it's the devil. And if we love people, especially the ones that are in our influence, area of influence or association, then we would do the right thing is to fight for them and battle for them in prayer until you see them come out on top and become victorious of those things. And so you can do those things because it's your love, it's your mercy that's being extended. You know, the scripture says we're bought with a price. And the reason, because we're bought with a price, you know, he paid the price for us. And so because of that, he can ask of us, you know, whatever he wants. Right? If we lived in the days of slavery or whatever, and someone legally could buy you, well, then they can ask you to do whatever because you're a slave. Right? And so it's not the best example because being bought by a price from the Lord Jesus Christ is not slavery. So I don't want to make that. But you understand that because he bought us, the scripture says we are not our own. We are bought with a price. So we belong to him. And so he can ask, if he has purchased us, then he can ask whatever he wants. Because like I said, it's his atonement. It's his program. He's the one. And so he set the parameters, and so can we. Right? We can set the parameters or how we deal with people and how things go on. And I'm telling you, it should be like God. But because he made that purchase of our redemption, then he can ask whatever he wants of us. And what does he ask of us? He asks us basically one thing. And that's to love him in return for what he did. Right? We love him because he first loved us. So in that, you understand that the scripture said when we were in sin and we weren't even thinking about him, he died for us. But once we come to the understanding, we come to realize and we begin to see what it is he did and how that he selflessly paid all the price and made it to where nothing can be held against us. And if you could fully get the full magnitude of what it means to be totally free and be able to live throughout eternity, we just finally see that. See? And realize it. You can't do anything but begin to love him in return. As I was hearing Brother Branham last night, and he was talking about this, and he said, He said, if we could just, and he said, even him, he said, if, you know, Satan keeps us from it, but if we could just really see the value of a soul, of one the value of a person being able to live through eternity, what kind of value could you put on that? Especially if it's you or your loved ones.
Right.
I mean, think about it, brother, sister, Satan keeps that reality from us, but we pray that the Holy Spirit help us to understand and see and that become real to us. The value of what it is the Lord has done and purchased for us. Eternity without pain or sorrow or sickness. Science says the sun will someday go out. Well, I think they're wrong because they're discounting one thing, and that is God can make it hang there as long as he wants.
Right?
Right? That's the one thing about science. Well, prove to me that this thing, well, okay, we prove this, whatever, but we don't have to have proof. We just have to have faith because we know God can do whatever he wants. He can supersede science. He can do something that science cannot explain. And maybe 10 million years from now, they finally figure out scientifically how it happened. And all that means is they figured out how God did it with his spoken word. Right?
Right.
We understand that. Amen. And so all he asks for us is just our love in return. And so I said that to say this, that if we truly begin to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, with all of our mind, all of our strength, then we're going to start wanting to live in a way that's pleasing to him. Because how can you love someone and constantly agitating them?
Right.
That's you know what I'm saying? So if we, and that's why he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Well, if you love him, you will want to keep his. Yeah, we make mistakes. He knows that. But what's the desire of your heart? And I don't mean, well, he knows my heart, but I'll just go ahead and mess up anyway. No, I'm not saying use it as an excuse, but he knows your heart. And I pray that we could know our heart, but the scripture said our heart's desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, God can know it, and he can reveal it to us. Right? To reveal to us when our heart is not exactly right. I pray, and that's what happens. The Holy Spirit does that through so many ways, preaching him his word and different things. He will reveal those things to us. But if our heart, if we really love him, we will want to follow him and please him. And herein lies the end time movement. When I said it, coming into unity with the word, we take on his nature, because the woman is to take on the nature of the man. And I'm not talking about the masculinity, but I'm talking about the things that he liked, that becomes the desire that she would want to be, right? She's to take on his leadership is to come down and influence her, right? And that's why when we come to church, that Brother Ben says so many times, you come to church and he said people get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. But we as the bride of Christ, our responsibility is to get his spirit, our husband's spirit. Let that be what anoints us, so that now we like what he likes and we dislike what he dislikes. And if we truly love him, that naturally happens. It just naturally happens that a man and woman that live together, they will begin to interact and reciprocate one another and work with each other without the struggles. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, husband and wife do have disagreements from time to time on things, but for the most part, mostly they learn to live with one another and compliment one another and work with one another and learn not to push buttons that will make them mad. You understand what I'm saying? So we learn naturally, just cohabitating together with the Word, with the Lord, we just begin to automatically to, when he pulls, we push, and when he pushes, we pull. Right? Like cutting with a saws on the lumber. That's the way it works. That's the way it works in the natural, and that's the way it works spiritually. So if we love him, we truly love him, then we start keeping in his commandments and living his command. Every time we say commandments, I don't mean just 10 commandments, because we know that what come out in the New Testament is a further perfection of what that letter of the law is. And his main theme in the New Testament is keeping his commandments, is to love one another. Right? Because if you love someone, you have fulfilled the law, says scriptures. To love someone. Well, that's back to where what? Well, what's love? Well, love will compel you to get involved and do things that you couldn't do without that. See? And so now for at the end time, we're talking about, my love's not good enough. God, I need you. I need your perfect love, your divine love, to come down on me like the prophet did the prophet in so many things that he described. Come down on me so now I can do what you can do, Lord. Because I can't do it myself. And this is too big a giant for me. But let you come down through me, and then I'll be able to express and project this kind of love, and it will not fail because it's you, Lord.
Amen.
If it's not you, I know it'll fail. But if it's you, it will not fail. And so that's the cry of my heart. That's why I pray up at night, praying and asking God for that. God, you come down. You do it.
Amen.
Because I know once you get involved, chains are going to fall. I can't make them fall. But if I can just get myself, position myself in such a place where he comes and he anoints, and then I know I go in his name,
right,
then I know it's going to make an effect.
Amen.
I know that I can stand there, and maybe no one else, but maybe just in my room and praying at night, and I can stand there and I know that I can call it like it is and know that giants fall, and they are falling, because
right,
I'm standing there on his word and believing it, confessing in that spirit realm. I'm not out there with some big sword physically fighting with it, but I'm standing in your prayer closet with the word, swinging that sword, and devils are dying.
Right.
That spiritual battle, warfare that we can do for others if we love them. If we truly love them. If we truly love them, we're going to call on God and say, God, I need your love working through me so I can meet this challenge. That you just come and live through me. And you do it. That's, in essence, when he says, if you love me, then, you know, that's what I'm asking. Since I've paid the price, I can ask what I will. And so what I'm asking is for your companionship, for you to love me, which means you'll keep my commandments. In essence, what he's saying, you'll become one with me, and you'll be me. You'll start acting me. You will bring me to this world. And so we know that perfect love does not reach out and project for itself. Perfect love is reaching out on behalf of the other, the person you love. Right? And it does it selflessly. It's not haughty. It's not vaunted itself. It doesn't lift itself up. It's not unseemly. It doesn't even need recognition. It's just to know. It's just to know that you've moved in that realm with God, and you're asking to move on a situation for someone you love, and you don't even tell nobody about it. You see him begin to move, and you know what's happening. You're like, praise God. And nobody else, everybody else is like, what's going on? You know what's going on. Prayer's being answered. That's what it is.
Right?
Right? I'm not talking about spiritual warfare here at the end time. And the way it works, to have a people that can overcome. You know, not everybody is all showy. Some people are quiet, behind the scene, prayer warriors. You know, we all have our place. And it's all every one of our responsibility to seek God and find our place, how he wants us to fight this battle for him.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God gives us family. He gives us our children. But he gives us their family. Our aunts, our uncles, brothers, sisters, children, whatever. Mom, dad, grandchildren. God gives us that. They're family. They're familiar. Mm-hmm. They're a special relationship with you. Because they have things in common with you. They carry your name and have genetic things you share there, and he gives you family. He gives you friends. He gives you church family. And what am I saying? He gives you a circle of influence. He gives you co-workers. But he puts people, you know, we can look out there and we can pray for the whole world, sure. But I can pray for you that I love a whole lot more than I can pray for the world with a lot more faith,
right,
for you than I can them. Because you're my family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So God gives us these friends and family and church family and different things. And so who else can love all these people that you're familiar with? Who else can love them more and battle for them more than you if you love them. Right. It's like God looked down and he said, here's all the people in the circle of your influence. And he says, and I have a strong blessing for those people, and it's you. Because that's the family he gave you. That's the co-workers he gave you. That's the circle of influence that you can influence that he gave you. He didn't tell you, now go out here and influence somebody on some other side of the world that you don't know, ever know, and you'll never do that. But you can influence the ones that you know, and you work with them, and you become to love them, you begin to understand how they work and what their natures are, whether it's family or church family or co-workers. And I'm just saying that they're all like that, and if you love them, then you can help them, you can fight for them, you can pray for them in a way that nobody else can, because that's your people. You understand? That's your people. Like, back to what I'm saying. If he loved a certain group, said that that's my people because I paid a price for them and I've forgiven them. They're mine.
Right.
And nobody else can say anything about it.
Right.
So you've got a people. Workers, family, church family. That's my people. That's your people. And you can help them in a way nobody else can. That's your mission field. That's your job. It's not yourself. It's not to live for yourself. It's to live for them. Right? That's what it's for. It doesn't have to be big and flashy. It doesn't even have to be known. It's just something to know in yourself that when you've sacrificed and something's happened, but you see something good come of it for somebody else, there's nothing like that feeling to know that somebody else has benefited because you went the extra mile. That's why Jesus told us these things in Sermon on the Mount, that somebody asked you to go more, go further with them. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. We're talking about God's nature coming down. And so, he gives you this, and you, in the same way with those people know you. Pray for them and all the interaction, because they're your people. This is my people in this church. This is the church God's given me. I could never reverse it, nor do I want to. It's forever written in eternity that we've walked this life together. And how thankful I am to know the people that God has put in contact, that we can walk together. And my brother and sister, That if we walk together, God has chosen us, then who else to fight for? Right? Yeah. Who else to love more? Yeah. We can love everybody, but you understand, there's something about your acquaintances, that there's a connection there that God wants fulfilled.
Yeah.
It's your people. It's my people, what God's given me. And if you've done, if somebody's done you wrong, whether it's your family, your church family, or whatever, you can forgive them. And you can forgive them for whatever, because it's your forgiveness. Amen. No limits to it. Because it's your people. It's your love that's being expressed. I can express to whoever I want, whoever's in my heart, to reach out. I'll do what I want to help them, and nobody else can stop me. Because it's my love, my atonement for the situation. You understand? Mimicking out, God living out that way. They've done you wrong, you can forgive them. And your love can cover a multitude of their sins. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say, well, I'll do it until I draw the line, and if you do any more, I just won't do it. Lord, shall we forgive our brother how many times in a day? Seven times? Jesus said seven times 70, that's 490 times. And if somebody does you that wrong that many times in a day, and you count it, and you know that it's 490, there's something wrong with you. You see what the whole point there? You got to get off of humanity and bring it into a God realm where you're looking and acting and seeing things through true atonement. True atonement, which comes through divine love, of which we're supposed to have coming into us.
Right.
Amen. You know, part of that Sermon on the Mount, it says, you know, if you only do good to those who love you, heathens do that.
Right.
All right? But if you will be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect, you got to do more than just those that love you. You got to reach out. You know, I work with people, right? They probably don't care about me one bit. But that doesn't mean I can still care about them. I can still influence their life.
Right.
And if their life consists totally of what they have here, and after they're done here, they're gone, I want them to have the best life they can.
Yeah.
Either way, we should want to do good and help people. Amen. Yeah. So, you see, the scripture tells us, and we'll read it if she'll bring it up, Galatians chapter 5, there's no law against fruits of the Spirit. Just prior to this, it names all this works of the flesh. And it's interesting to me, always stuck out to me that just before this, it says the works of the flesh. But here it says the fruit of the Spirit. Because, yeah, you could say, well, evil works, they have influenced people, but there's no life in it. So it's not fruit. It can't keep going. But the fruit of the Spirit is fruitful. Then it is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against these things. No one's, and let me put it this way, I realize that in this world, when we know that believers should be meek and humble, and the world will call you all kinds of things and say you're, you know, you don't have any backbone and blah, blah, blah. They might say whatever they want. But in God's word, in God's economy, there is no law in God's word against meekness and temperance and love and gentleness. Right? God will never rebuke you for loving, for trying to be meek and humble and gentle to poor. There's nothing in his word to rebuke that. There is things in his word to rebuke haughtiness and backbiting and all that. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But see, Paul laid that out because it's like, you know what? When you know there's no law against it, you don't have to worry about it. Right? You don't have to worry. You can do it all you want. There's nothing ever going to stop you. Nothing will ever stop you. God will never stop you and try to stop you from loving people and doing good for people and being meek and humble and gentle. He'll never try to stop you that because there's no law against it. Amen. No law against it. You can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You can have all you want, and you can share all you want. And nobody will try to stop you. The world might. But there's no law in God's word to tell you not to. It's there to tell you to do it. And so, let me try and bring these all together. What I'm talking about, divine love that never fails. And then, fruits of the Spirit that's there, that will never be, that's there unlimited. We can have all we want and we can share all we want. There's no limit to it. There's nothing there going to stop it. And when you couple that up with divine love, which never fails, you're coming to a place where you know that you can make a difference in people's lives no matter what, because you hold the circumstances in your hand to make a difference. So there's no law against those things. Christ bought this for you, and he brought it to you. He bought it, and he brought it. It's ours. And so to be like God in this age is to do these things I'm just talking about here, unlimited. To be like God, to go out and to forgive and not be partial to one another, And to instill meekness and faith and gentleness and walk like that, there's nothing can stop you from doing that when you walk in divine love. When you ask God to come down and live that through you. Now, the scripture says there is no fear in love. I'm almost done. I'm going to get you out really early today. There's no fear in love because fear has torment.
Right.
God has no desire for you to be tormented. And people, there's a lot of people tormented. There's a lot of believer people that are tormented. It's not of God. We're not to be tormented. And so love, because fear hath torment, but perfect love can cast out fear because the fear has torment. So perfect love can get rid of the torment. Okay? But perfect, there's no fear in love. And I'm saying, you know, like I said, well, our love has a limit, but when his comes, it never fails. So if there's no fear in love, why would there be fear in love? There can't be. There can't be fear in love because love is perfect and never fails. So if you know that divine love can come down in your life, then no matter what throws up against you, there are no fear. Because you know it's going down.
Right.
You know that love will conquer it. I don't care what it is. You know love will conquer. And this is what we need to fight for, long for, pray for, is for this kind of love and nature to come down into us. I believe it's been lived out and shown to us in this ministry at the end time to know that this is one of the things God's bringing to his bride, that divine love can come into a place where we have no fear because we know God's answering the prayers. We know God is conquering. Because now we have the ability to move it out into a realm with divine love, move it out into a realm where all things are possible.
Right.
Where we don't have to understand, we just move right out there and just say, there it is. I'm projecting God's love. And as the prophet said, then sovereign grace will take over and supply the need and never fail. Supernaturally stop things always and make it work. And so there's no fear in love, especially divine love. If I love my wife and she loves me, I don't have to worry about whether or not she's going to be home when I get home, and not worry about her out running around with somebody else. Because love takes away the doubt, the fear. So we come into God's presence, his love, but to his love to work through us, we know that when it's projected, it'll work. Amen. So we just want to have access to his love so sovereign grace can take over. It works. It works for everything. It worked for the bull that was going to charge Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. Right? Here's a beast, a creature. It already killed one man and almost killed somebody else. And here he is, just happened to be that way. But Brother Branham, you know the story. He said, oh, something happened. Something came. Right? No, it wasn't in him. He didn't have it. You don't have it. But something that came. It's like that watch night service 2 years ago, and I've been having all that packed back pain for several years, seeing a doctor about it. And I, you know, when the music, you know, God can heal in so many ways. One way is healing music. And I know the sermon was about healing, but when the musicians came up here and they started playing that song, and I think it was Healing. I think that's the name of it. I'm not sure, but something came out. I didn't have it, but it came. Something came. This is what happened. My brother said something came. Something came down and all of a sudden now he had no fear. Why? Because there's no fear in love. So when divine love came, the fear went out. And so it's not like that you can just, God, I need your love, and here it comes. But we walk with him and we live with him and we love him. And so that at any point, because the way we live with him, at any point, he can drop that down in those times of need. And once he does, then it conquers the situation. And we've got that promise that he will do that with us. And I believe more and more as we get closer to body change, we should see these things happening in our lives. We should long for it, fight for it, believe it, push things out of the way and seek it. Because when those things, those times come like that, it just, when something comes in, it's like when I prayed for that woman that was dying years ago, and I went in that room, and all I know is something in me went away and something else came. That's all I know. It was God came down. It makes a difference when he comes in.
Amen.
You know, and you know the story that the next morning she had already, you know, that family said, hey, and you know, different ones, and so different things like that. And so Brother Ram talks about that bull, the bull just came in. Here's what he describes, that there was a presence there, and as it charged, it came into that presence. And stopped and turned over and laid down. He went, come back. That would be even take faith. Because, well, I know he went and laid down. I think I'll go a different way. No, he walked right back through there. Why? Because it was conquered. Conquered with love. Mm-hmm. It was conquered. But that bull came into that presence. I was listening to one of the sermons on divine love, and Brother Brandon was talking about early on before he got into it. He said, you know, you love all people, but you know, you got some people, you love them, but you can't stand to be around them. I see some smiles. And he said, the reason why is because that person creates an environment around them. There's a conflict in that environment. But you know, you're creators. We are creators. You can create a bad environment. You can create a good environment. Right? And so, when people can walk into that environment, if you're always negative, always complaining, we have a huge spirit of negativism at work because of decision management and stuff like that. And I have to remind myself, don't be negative. Try to be positive. Because there's an environment. You walk into it. You have to fight against it. But people make environments. And so, this bull came into that environment of that presence of that divine love, and it shut him down. So it worked with that, and he talked about the hornets. Whenever you understand that, the same thing, something happened with the maniac that came up there to something happened. Talking about the possum. Something happened. So it works on animals. It works on people. Works on a maniac. It worked on a colored man in Memphis that had a social disease. It worked on him. It worked for that woman. You understand? It works. It brought an airplane out of the sky. It physically can make probably a 100,000-pound airplane come down and land and make people make decisions to not fly and hold it over until the prophet got back. It works. Right? It stops animals from attacking. It stops violent people from attacking. Right? It heals people no matter what they've done. Like the prophet told us said about that black man that had got the social disease, said mama's love, said my baby. It always, no matter what he'd done, no matter how much disgrace he brought on the home, it's mama's baby. See, it's that kind of environment that God can come to, that kind of nature can come down and come to it. Because, you know, he has to come to like nature. So we create the right environment by walking with him, being positive and confessing his word and walking in his word. And he's pleased with that. Then he can come down and say, I see the love you have in your heart. And I see y'all. And now let me bring my portion of love. Let me come and anoint you my way. See? And it works on all things. No matter what it is. Because it can't fail. It can say it can be a tank sitting in front of you with a 50 caliber or whatever they use pointing right at you. But if divine love comes down, the tank's going to stop. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to understand what it is. All you have to know is that presence and that faith that, hey, all things work when it's God, when it's his love. You just have to know that and believe that. It'll work for your situation too. You can't just, it's like third pull. Brother Bam said, listen, I never said I'll do that. He told me to say those things. I'm not trying to tell you we'll ever rise up to be something or so. We're not. But when he comes down, when he says speak it, when he says do it, it's different. Then you can have confidence. When he moves on your body, you feel something and you realize, I ain't had no more back pain. When he does it. Amen. In other times, you're like, well, I've been going for shoulder pain. I can't do certain things, whatever. It's not so bad now while I'm preaching, but but you know, but other things, he says, here's my presence, done. It's him. It's him we seek for. We don't seek for Brother Branham. It's him we seek for. This message has focused me in the direction that that's what it is, away from what I was taught in Pentecost and all of that stuff like that, to the real, genuine Word of God coming to pass and doing among his people what he said, without fanaticism. Great things, but not fanaticism. Great things, but humility. Because he can do that. It's him. Amen. We're such a blessed people to be able to him to be drawing us in and showing us and helping us to come to realize these things. And so it works on all things when it's projected. When it's projected. Amen. So when you come to the end of your rope, end of your rope, you've done all you know to do, and you're facing a giant. And you think, well, if I do this, no, that won't work. If I do this, no, I can't do this because I, you know, and I, Lord, I don't know what to do. Everything I can think of, whatever I try to think about, it's not going to work. I can't fight this enemy because everything I think about, it's not going to work. It's got every bit of it. It's got consequences. And I just can't do nothing with it. And it's times like that. This is the opportune time of what I'm talking about. Times like that when God can come down and bathe you in his divine love, and you'll watch your enemy disappear. Amen. There is a time, God controls it. There is a time of having to climb uphill. Fight that fight, a good fight of faith. Just keep pressing on, doing what you're doing, no matter what it looks like. There is a time of doing that in our lives, no matter how bad it gets, what it is, who it is, whatever. You just keep pressing. What are you doing? You're positioning yourself with the right attitude that God can come down. And we'll do that until he does. Amen? We'll do that until he does. Amen. And so when you come to the end of your ways, then just turn it to God, and it never fails. In Romans chapter 8, you know, it talks about that neither life nor death, principalities, powers, things present, things past, things to come, no angel, no nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But I got to say this, that you know that Satan would use all of those things. Satan will try to use those. He'll try to use principalities, powers, different things. He'll try to tell you your past, the future, whatever. Satan will try to use any of those things that he can to try and separate you. But the scripture says none of those things can separate you because perfect love works. It worked on Calvary. It worked. And it still works today. Amen?
Amen.
And so when those things happen, like once you realize that and you know that's the way it works, coming into the presence of God, walking with him, and at some point when he moves in, why should you worry if you've got a giant in front of you calling your name? Why should you worry if you've got a Goliath? Because you know you've seen God work. You know what your presence is. You know what your resolve is. And you know when he comes in that it's different. And when that happens, you don't worry about what's in front of you. You claim his promises. In your prayer, you say, I don't care what it looks like, what my mind tries to think, I cast that away, it's you. You're the solution, God. You're the answer to this situation. I don't understand, I don't know, I give it to you. You fight those battles. And you get yourself into the place where now you're in, and it's clear, and you can speak those things, and you can claim it, and you know that giants are falling. You know that you got someone that you're praying for, and maybe and the devil's like, I told you to go attack that one. You're like, I can't. Why can't you? Because that person's praying for him. That's why I can't. I'm trying to attack him, but this guy won't stop praying for this one. So I can't. And you've got to understand that's exactly what's going on in that spirit realm.
Right.
When Daniel prayed and the answer came the day he prayed but couldn't get to him for 21 days because there was a battle taking place until the angel finally got through and came. It's Bible.
Right.
It's Bible spiritual warfare. So pray. And if you don't get the answer, keep praying because the answer's on its way.
Right.
Don't stop. Keep pressing on. Keep claiming them children, them grandchildren. Keep claiming them. Why? Because his word said so.
Amen.
And then at some point, you're going to see that move. You're going to see God move. And you're just going back and say, Lord, you're so faithful to do what you said you would do. How wonderful that is. Amen. Amen. Let's lift him. A Christian's desire, his whole entire walk is, Lord, just let me go away and let you come in. Amen. We'll bow our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. It's my desire, Lord, that I can totally and completely walk 100% what I've shared today with your people. Lord, I believe they would want that too. Lord, as we move in the days ahead, I pray, God, that each one of us, each one on the sound of my voice, whether live or streaming, they begin to gain ground in what I talked about today. Lord, that they learn how to cast things aside that hinder and move into that realm where enemies fall. I know you have it for us, Lord, and I just pray that each one will come into that place, Lord. As they make a step towards you, I pray, God, that you, I know you will. You'll take a step toward them and confirm to them that you will give them victories. Lord, give them confidence and faith, not to get tired holding that sword, but to continue to hold it and swing. Lord, it's a double-edged sword. It swings in both directions. No matter what, as we're using your word, it works, no matter which way we send. I just pray, God, that you help each one in that way. Give them victories now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will measure land.
You got unbelievers around you, and you got people around you that make fun of what you believe and mock you and things like that. You know, when you're going through those things at that time, it just seems so horrible, so terrible. Will it ever end? But I want to tell you, it will end. I used to work with people that would do that. I worked with a guy. His name was Larry. And when I prayed for that one woman and God raised her up, she's on her deathbed. Her family was about to pull the plug on her. And God raised her back up, brought her back, came back there to work and testified to it. And, you know, her bowels were emptying. They had ruptured and was emptying into her, inside her. And without anything except prayer, she started getting better. You know? And God brought them back. He said, today, they said she won't last the day. He said, it's over with. I said, it's not over with till God says it is. And afterwards, he said, yeah, Tony healed her. That man's in his grave now. Another guy that argued with me and said, trying to make me say it's okay to cuss and use cuss words because Paul used the word done. He's gone. All those men that made fun said, oh, Larry and Dave said one time, another guy named Dave, he said, hey, Tony, said the Bible says that Jesus was preaching to multitudes. I said, yeah? He said, well, those guys way in the back, how could they hear? They're all gone. What you're going through will end someday. When you have enemies standing before you, they will go. Whether it's it working or in your body or whatever it is, it will go someday. Yeah. Between now and then, keep fighting that good fight of faith. Amen? Yeah. That's what we do. Amen. I don't know if we can sing it, but that song, Why Should I Fear When Giants Are Called My Name or something like that. We know that song. We have it. What is it called? That song's been in my mind. I feel sorry for our musicians because we turn on them and say, hey, what about it? And they're like, ugh. I think that's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. You sing it as special, right? Yeah.
So you didn't know you was going to sing a special today, did you? Somebody's got to lead us because I don't know it, but just parts of it. But that tune has been in my spirit. It's either songbook. Speak to your mouth, speak to your something. Thank you. you to go with. You tell your enemies, my God is bigger, stronger.